Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, so glad to be with you. And Jesus is alive and well, and we can praise God and thank for it. The Bible says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And if we're saved, we have so much to rejoice about because our names, Jesus said, "Rejoice because your names are written in the book of life in heaven." And that's something worth rejoicing about. We know where we're going when we die, but you know, we know where we came from, why we're here. And we know that Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And then we have his wonderful, fantastic word that we can trust in. But today I want to talk again about we uphold the word of Jesus Christ, and we have it today. And there are people today that say that we don't have it, and they're trying to convince you of that. But we thank God we have it. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. And so it's in our heart, in our mouth. It's nigh us. That means, for you can't understand Old English, that means near us. And it's in our heart and in our mouth. And I say it a couple of times so you get it. We have it today. And the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We have it with us, and we thank God for it. Now, we have today, we hear all the time in the news these people that hate our president, and he is elected by the American people. And I have to be somewhat political in this statement because I think he's doing a fantastic job. And all you have to do is look all over the place, and everywhere you look, there's help wanted signs, which means he's got people back to work of every nationality. And I don't know how you could help the Spanish-American community, the African-American community, the Caucasian community more than putting people back to work, and he has more than many presidents in the past. So, but that's not the point that we're talking about. This is that there's this continual slander of him, and there's many reasons for that, but they slander him. And the left, since they can't always win arguments, what they do is if they do something wrong, they immediately blame the other side. So Bill Clinton goes to Moscow, and he gives a speech in Moscow, and they pay him $1 million, and then Clinton, Mrs. Clinton, as Secretary of State, that's Hillary, she gives him rights to our uranium supply. I don't think that's very good to you.
No.
So immediately they blame him for colluding, and all the fellow travelers that are with, that are against him, repeat this over and over again. But after I don't know how many years of repeating this, they haven't found any evidence of it whatsoever up until now. And so I think maybe they ought to investigate those people. But it's slander. And, you know, when they do this, and they do it to it, they don't want to argue the case, but the Bible says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." That's against one of the Ten Commandments. But, of course, they don't want the Ten Commandments to be up, because if they had them up, it would convict them. I mean, because they're breaking most of them. And so that says we're not supposed to lie and tell lies about somebody else. And I think that would be good to be up in schools and everywhere, because it's a horrible thing. It's character assassination. And that's what they're trying to do to the president of the United States, that was elected by the people. But there's something a lot worse than that, and that is the assassination, attempted to assassinate the integrity of the Word of God. And Jesus Christ himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." And the Bible says, and Jesus says, the devil is a liar and the father of it. And so you can go into this world, and the Bible says all men are liars, but you can go to one place and put and you can bank on it, and that is you can go into the Authorized King James Bible, and you read the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the absolute infallible truth that came from the God of this universe that is running those stars within a fraction of a second. Now, Jesus said when he was on the earth, beware of the scribes. The scribes are the educators. Now, there were some scribes that were following Christ, but basically as a class, they had turned against Jesus, and although they had all the evidence that he was the Son of God because the prophecies showed it and his works that he did, that he raised the dead and healed the sick and opened blind eyes and so on, and hundreds of people saw him do these incredible miracles, and he said that those works bear witness of him, they rejected him. And Jesus, though, said that heaven and earth would pass away, but my words would not pass away. And it's mentioned in three different Gospels, so he was making a point of it. In other words, it'd be easier for the sun to burn out, the stars to go out of their place and all disintegrate, than his words to pass away. And so they've developed all these ideas and all this stuff to try to convince you that we do not have his words today. And we're going to be talking about that today. Now, I want you to notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, we'll start in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is systematic teaching of the word of God, for reproof, showing us where we've done something wrong, for correction, to correct things that we've done wrong, for instruction in righteousness, and to tell us what to do that is right as distinguished from what is wrong. And it would save a lot of people. And by the way, I want to say this. The devil that lies to you, he makes it look, sin look very attractive. He makes it, and there's a certain seductiveness to it. But in the end, it brings misery and sorrow. And you see it all the time. Look at all the time people are dying of overdose of drugs, constantly. The wages of sin, God says, is death. But the way of God, all the rules and all the things that Jesus tells us, it'll just bring joy into our life. And it's proven by millions of people. You do it God's way, he wants to give you joy, see? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so you ought to read the Bible every day. I read the Bible when I was a child, and I thank God, and I still read it today. That's incredible. Created by the creator of this universe. So therefore, the devil and all the people that don't like what's in there are going to attack it all the time. Much of modern education is just to try to convince you that it is not God's word. But in seminaries today, here's the first thing they say. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, they say immediately, and Brother Davis, you tell me if this is not what you have heard, that is referring to the original autographs. That's referring to the paper that the Apostle John wrote it. Haven't you heard that?
Yeah, the originals, as in when it was first given to them by God.
Yes, and that is repeated, and that is a... that is true, that it is inspired, but only when they say only the originals are inspired, that is a lie that comes right out of hell. That's one of the biggest lies the devil ever tell. And I'll prove it right here. It says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Do you think that Timothy had the original writings that Moses gave?
Well, most likely not.
He wrote it about 3,000, 4,000 years before that. He had copies of copies, and those copies were called scripture, and they were inspired. And that's what we have today. We have copies of copies, and those copies are inspired. So when they say that, they are telling you one of the devil's biggest lies. And the whole idea is to get you to believe that you don't have the very words of God today in the English language, and therefore you have to go to the scribes. You have to go to them. That's always the way it is, see? I mean, they'll recommend, for instance, they recommend the NIV and the New ASV, so they disagree with each other, and they disagree with the King James. So where do you go if they disagree? Well, you go to a scribe, see, out of some seminary somewhere. Now, it's very important for you to understand that seminaries, you don't have that in the Bible. You have that in the New Testament. They were pastors of local churches who were trained by pastors in local churches. Is that not right, Brother Davis?
That is correct.
Yes, and Jesus trained his followers. Paul trained his followers. He didn't send them off to a scribe factory somewhere to be trained. Now you say, yeah, you say that because you haven't gone to one. Yes, I did. In fact, I graduated for one, and I spent many years there, and I know exactly what they're saying, what they're teaching. And furthermore, I taught in a Bible school, but that is different because it was a local church Bible school taught by pastors. And so I know exactly what they're teaching. I spent 30 years reading every book on the subject and listened to students that had gone to these places. And it's a system of casuistry to overcome and to attack their belief in the Word of God. Now, the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. Not, it says, cursed is every man that putteth confidence in men. And so many of these, unfortunately, many Bible schools today, not all of them, there's quite a number that believe what we believe today. And I don't say that I'm by myself in this. I'm thinking, even we've talked a lot about Moody Bible Institute, and when I went to that school, Dr. Alfred Martin was one of my teachers, and he was executive vice president of the satellite schools at Moody Bible Institute, and he wrote a book defending the King James, and anybody from Moody knows well that he wrote that book. And he made a statement. I don't know if you remember that statement he made. Can you give a general statement there, what he made?
I haven't been able to find the exact statement on there.
Well, what he said, okay, I'll just repeat it then. He said this, if you really knew the evidence, then you wouldn't think like you did, you know? And he definitely defended King James. I sat in his class at Moody. Another person from Moody was the pastor of Moody Church, Dr. Logsdon. And Dr. Logsdon, he attacked the new ASV, and he was on the committee to put that thing out. And when he began to study what they had actually come up with, he turned against it, and he spoke against it very strongly. And you can look what he said up on the internet if you doubt what I'm saying, and read what Logsdon said about it. And he taught that the King James was a perfect translation. It was the Word of God, and he defended the King James, the pastor of Moody Church. But some of the scribes that we've been talking about, and every time they talk about it, and I don't believe in this program in just criticizing institutions, but when they attack my Bible, I'm going to say something about it. I remember one Baptist preacher, they used to say, well, I love the King James, and then after saying they love it, they'd start attacking it and correcting it. And he says, it's like coming into my house and saying, I love your mother, and then getting a butcher knife and start cutting your mother up. Well, the Word of God is more important than my mother, although she was a great lady. And don't cut the Word of God up. Now, they start out by saying, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that's referring to the originals and or the original autographs or the original writing. Well, it is true that that is inspired, but it's not only referring to that, because he says, from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. Then he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So he had copies of copies. Now, Jesus makes this statement. He says, if he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. We get eternal life by believing, hearing Jesus' word. How do we hear it if we don't have it? Another place he says, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world. For I have given them the words, W-O-R-D-S, that thou hast given me. I've given them to the world. And the King James Bible is on radio and television worldwide. It's 5 billion copies out there. And it continues to grow. Millions have been saved through it. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Have you found that other passage in John there?
Yes. Just give me just a moment to go back to that screen. And while I'm turning back there, just a reminder, you can follow Bruce online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can listen to some previous programs there as well. Let's see, John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
He that rejecteth me and receiveth, you see, the Bible says as many as receive the word were baptized. So receiving the word is receiving Jesus Christ. What did he say there in that passage about those that reject his words?
Well, in the context here, he starts out there in verse 46, where he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And then he said, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, talking about Christ, and receiveth not my words, and that's what you're saying, he's not receiving God's words, and what do we know about God but what he gave us, the words that he gave us. And so if we reject those words, we're rejecting the knowledge of Christ, aren't we?
Yes.
So if we reject the knowledge of Christ, he says, he hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so the one that rejects God's words has the word of God that judges him. Say, how could I know? Well, here's God's word, and you rejected it. You rejected him.
That's a very important accusation. And somebody says, well, no translation is inspired again. Well, when God says in the New Testament, you read it constantly in defining words, it says, which is by interpretation, that's the same as translation. And so right there, it says that God is translating. But when they say no translation, what about Moses translating the words of Pharaoh into the Hebrew? What about the Hebrew being translated into the New Testament Greek? What about that translation? And, you know, the Greek professors, they say, well, the New Testament is written in Koine Greek, and they're so ignorant of the fact that the text that they're using for these modern perversions, and every one of them has a different underlying Greek text, but the text that they're using isn't even Koine Greek text. It's classical Greek. Yeah, you know, the Koine Greek text is like this: row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. That's common, like common Greek. That's common English. Classical Greek: propel, propel, propel your craft placidly down the liquid solution. Statically, ecstatically, ecstatically, existence is but a delusion. You know, that's classical Greek. Now, Origen lived 185 to 254, and he was a great corrupter. And he put it into classical Greek. And that's the basis for the modern versions. You know what it says in the Bible in another place? It says, I speak not in the words of man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is classical Greek, but in the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now, somebody says, well, you just defend English. No, I believe God, in translating the word of God. And the King James has been translated into probably 800 different languages around the world. And the true text is out there in those languages too. And for instance, the King James is based on the Syriac Peshitta, which came out of Antioch. Antioch was the missionary church that sent out Paul. It's the text behind the King James is called the Antiochian text. The modern ones are called the Alexandrian text. And God just pins it down. Alexandrian was the ones that disputed with Stephen and then had him stoned to death. And that's where Apollos, the mixed-up Bible scholar, people that follow this so-called Alexandrian text, and it's just a handful of manuscripts that disagree with each other constantly. Vaticanus and Sinaiticus disagree in 3,000 places. Some people call it the oldest and best, to which the devil would say a hearty amen to that, you know. And that's the basis for these modern corrupt versions that kick out Jesus in 100 places. But Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words that thou hast given me. And today, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, not partial truth. And he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking in the hearts of Christians, and that's why today, Christians, it's not the sales records that really count. It's how many people are reading it, the people that read the Bible every day. And the people who read it every day, the large majority are reading the King James, because those that are come to God in prayer and humbly in humility before God, they move to, the Holy Spirit guides them to the King James. God says he'll guide us into all truth. And what are these other people doing? Well, they're proud. And first, they're proud and they're listening to Satan. That's what's the... I can't imagine. Sometimes I think to myself, how can some of these leading evangelicals do this? How can they put out a translation that says that Jesus is a liar and makes him out to be a sinner, says his father's Joseph? Well, you look at Eve. She was walking with God, Adam and Eve. And what did she do? God told her one thing, and she revised what he said. She was walking with God. You see, Peter... He gave the great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And a few minutes later, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, you know, because he was speaking things that were not of God. And so it's very possible, you know, and when a person starts to get proud, they start thinking whatever their brain thinks is right instead of humbly coming to the Word of God and trusting it. But thank God this Word gives us so much blessing. You know, it gives us hope of eternal life. And these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And believing, not the Son of Joseph, like a lot of the modern translations say, but the Son of God. And believing you might have life through his name. That's eternal life. And eternal life begins immediately, right now. And with it comes joy, and with it comes peace, and with it comes satisfaction, and with it comes a home in heaven. And they're constructing the mansions right now that we're going to live in, and we're going to be with Jesus Christ forever. And this Bible tells us that Jesus' blood cleanseth us from all sin. We're all sinners, and we have all come short of the glory of God. We can say to Jesus, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Please have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me and take me to your place in heaven." And Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Isn't that a wonderful thought? I'll never cast you out. And Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me, I've lost none of them." He said, "I never lost anybody that came to me." And if you come to him in repentance and faith and trust him and accept him with all your heart and soul, you're just as sure of heaven as if you lived there a million years, and it doesn't matter what anybody says about it. God said it in his eternal word. And, you know, they had this word all over the world. The ancient English, the Goths had it, and the Armenians had it. And they had this in China. The Syriac Peshitta text, the Nestorians took it to China. It was being preached in China in the 7th century, and then under Morrison once again. But it was preached all over the world. And so thank God we have it. And don't let anybody deceive you. The Bible says there'll be some people, they'll be speaking perverse things, making disciples after their own selves. We don't have to listen to the Bible correctors. They're the devil. But we can listen to Jesus. And Jesus said his word abides in us. Praise God. And let's thank him for his eternal word. James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty, and we have it right here in the King James Bible.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.